Jackson Scramble, April 22nd and 23rd. Two-man scramble, May 6th and 7th. Just 15 minutes over the Memphis Bridge off the Marion exit at Cypress View Golf and Recreation. Visit cypressviewgolf.com.
Mrs. Taco and Margarita Fest is back on April 22nd downtown, featuring the best tacos and tequila in Memphis. Come enjoy live music, tequila tents, and more. Must be 21 and up to enjoy the party. Get your tickets now at 901tix.com.
Think on our next big deal is about to dry, and we can't wait to tell you what it is. Listen tomorrow morning at 8:30. News Talk 98.9.
Memphis Morning News Time, 7:36 here on News Talk 98.9. I'm Ditch.
I'm Tim Van Horn.
Tim Van Horn's here. And we have Richard Archie on the phone with us. First time speaking with him here on Memphis Morning News. Richard, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well and glad to have an opportunity to visit with you guys.
And Richard's with the Tennessee Firearms Association, and the association was originally formed back in 1995 in response to the civilian handgun permit law, which had been amended by the legislature back in 94. So they've been hard at work now, getting close to 30 years, almost turning 30. But Richard, we're talking with you today really on the heels of the latest incident where we've seen in a school a person comes in, breaks the law, and then the police neutralizes the threat. And then you cue up the gun control advocates and you stir up these protests across the country.
Yeah, it's a sad situation that occurred up there. But what we see is the standard method of operation at the end of a criminal act. The legislatures get a lot of pressure from people in the public to start passing laws to keep law-abiding citizens from being able to exercise their constitutional rights. They want to punish the not guilty for the crime. And I've never understood that, but that's the whole point right there.
It's textbook to make those who, you know, like Tennessee Firearms Association, somehow to be bad guys in this situation. If you want to protect your rights to own firearms, somehow you don't care about kids or you don't care about what's happening in this country. I equate it to this, Richard. It's emotions over logic.
It is. And that's the sad thing. We have a history in Tennessee. We're the volunteer state. And if you go back to see where that nickname came from, people want to talk about, well, it was the Spanish-American War. It was the War of Independence in Texas. It was not. It was when Andrew Jackson stood on the courthouse steps in 1814 and called for volunteers to go with him down into Alabama to fight the Red Sticks, who were, at that point, the Creek Indians who had uprisen and decided to join forces with the British who had re-attacked us in 1812. And so where we got our name, the volunteers, he called for 2,500 volunteers, 5,000 showed up. And they did so with their personal long arms. It wasn't the army. It was simply the citizens of Tennessee volunteering to go down and to fight for liberty. And they did it with their personal arms. And that's what the Second Amendment has always called for, an unfettered right of the individual to keep and bear arms for their common defense in Tennessee. That's the way our original analog for the Second Amendment read, that the free men of this state have the right to keep and to bear arms for their common defense. Government's not responsible for our protection of security and safety. I love the fact that those young men in Nashville responded as quickly as they did to the Covenant School shooting. They did exactly what they should have done. They ran to the sound of gunfire, and I applaud them. Thank God for those individuals. But by the same token, they can't be with us all the time. There's an old saw that says, you know, I carry a handgun because a cop's too heavy to tote. Well, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, The average time for response in Tennessee in a 911 call is about 14 minutes. Now, a lot can happen in 14 minutes. That's the time that it took law enforcement to get to Covenant and to neutralize that threat. In that 14 minutes, sadly, we lost six lives. If each of us is prepared and trained and armed, then we stand a lot better chance of being able to survive an incident like that than we would if we're in a gun-free zone. And so,
now,
go ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you that when we see this happen and then we see the response by the government, and this isn't the first time, Richard, this has happened. We've seen it on the national level. In fact, there was a legislation where they tried to do it to our own returning military, is we see government bodies try to slip in what's called a red flag law into either federal or state legislation. Can you talk a little bit about red flag laws? Because everything, it seems like, is couched with noble intentions, but can you give us the real scoop on red flag laws?
Yeah, red flag laws are what they call extreme risk orders of protection. And what they do is anybody, whether that be your doctor, your next door neighbor, a girlfriend that you've upset, can simply call law enforcement and say, hey, I consider this person to be a threat to either himself or to the general public or to me. And at that point, they approach a judge who will give them this extreme risk order of protection. And what it does, it requires them then to come and take your guns. It doesn't require them to assess the situation to see if there's any credibility to the charge whatsoever. All it does is give them free rein to come in, kick your door in, and take your guns.
Wait, you don't even get to face your accuser?
No, there's no due process in it at all. And I think something that is very, very interesting in this, within the last 2 months, there have been two Supreme Courts in New York, by the way. Now, they've got it upside down. Their trial courts are called Supreme Courts in New York. Imagine that they'd be upside down for the rest of the country. But their trial courts there, which we might consider to be circuit courts in Tennessee, have two of them in the last 2 months have said that red flag laws are unconstitutional under the Bruin decision. Now, you know, New York is the one that caused the Bruin decision to come forth. And a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about here, but it's very important. The Bruin decision was a Supreme Court case that was decided this last year. And what it finally said was, we've been through this a number of times, and finally, folks, we're going to tell you, here's what you've got to use for scrutiny when it comes to any issue of the Second or 14th Amendment. And keep in mind, the 14th Amendment is a civil rights situation. But what Bruin said is, if it wasn't a law that was on the books at the time of the founding, when the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was ratified in 1791, you can't use latter-day antidotes to that for scrutiny with respect to the Second Amendment. It is absolutely necessary that the when you talk about any issue that has to do with your right to keep and bear arms, you have to look at historical tradition. And if there wasn't a law in Tennessee, and in 1796, which is when we became a state and our Constitution was ratified, you can't be making up state stuff in 1870 like they did with the intent to go arm clause. It says you can't carry a loaded firearm with the intent to go arm. How silly is that? Why would anybody carry a loaded firearm and not intend to be armed?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, that's like carrying a knife without a blade.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And Richard Archie with the Tennessee Firearms Association joins us this morning. And Richard, we've heard some whispers in the wind. We don't have anything confirmed, but I'm guessing you may be a little bit closer to the situation in Nashville. Are you hearing any whispers in the wind about another push, especially after the intimidation from that riot at the General Assembly chambers, a push to try to slip in some sort of a red flag law into what they say is a very conservative Tennessee? Have you heard anything at all?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bill that was taken off by Mr. Yarbrough. It was taken off notice in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Tuesday. And they tried to bring it back yesterday in the floor. On the floor, there's a rule that allows you to bring a bill if it's been stopped in committee. What they did on Tuesday, they rolled it to the first calendar of 24. which in effect stops everything going on about it right now. They took that same bill in the House off notice in the Criminal Justice Subcommittee on Tuesday as well. But Yarbrough went back yesterday. He's a Democrat senator, and he's got a bill that would require every person, let's talk to your duck hunters and deer hunters and squirrel hunters and rabbit hunters and people that shoot sporting clays and stuff like that. He's got a bill, the vehicle they're using right now, that would require every person that carries a firearm in their vehicle to have a secondary form of safety. In other words, some kind of heavy duty case that would be firmly affixed to the frame of the car that you would have to secondarily lock, not just your outside doors, but to lock that firearm in there, or you would be a criminal. So what we're doing again is we're taking people who are law abiding and we're making them criminals and we're punishing them for the acts. I think if I'm not mistaken, I heard something about a bunch of cars got broken there at FedEx Forum just recently.
We've had over 3,000 break-ins to cars this year already. If you come to Memphis, go ahead and have a rent-a-car company's phone number on standby because you might need it.
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're saying, all right, we're going to continue to allow the criminals and the thugs to do what they're doing because we can't stop them because law enforcement has no ability whatsoever to provide security or safety or protection for your property for any individual. That's not their job. Their job is to put yellow tape around the bodies or chalk marks and to come out and write a report so you can then go to your insurance company and get your car fixed and get your property replaced. Law enforcement doesn't have any statutory or constitutional requirement to provide safety or security to the individual. The Second Amendment is your safety and security. And so what Yarbrough tried to do with that bill, making us criminals for not having a secondary opportunity to keep a thug when they break your window out, if they see that metal container in your car, they're just going to take the jack and tear it up too. So they're simply going to cause more damage to your car because instantly when they see that metal box, they're going to know you got a gun in there. So they're going to bust your windows out. Now they're going to tear up your whole interior. That's smart. That's really being good, you know?
And hey, Richard, how can folks, we got about 15 seconds left. How can folks find out more about the Tennessee Firearms Association?
www.TennesseeFirearmsSpelledOut.com. There's a website there. You can go and get all kind of information. You don't have to be a member. We send out a weekly update of legislation, and anybody can get that. You don't have to be a member, but you ought to be.
Thank you so much, Richard Archie with the Tennessee Firearms Association. Please don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back. We'll keep an eye on what happens in the Tennessee Assembly in 2024. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.